From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, I'm Paris Alston. Welcome to Consider This from Boston, where low-income students who take free college courses in high school are more likely to go directly to college and stay enrolled than their peers. But few students in the state are taking that first step. GBH's higher education reporter and editor Kirk Carapeza has more on why the state is playing catch-up on early college education. Hey, Kirk, how's it going?
It's going all right, Paris. Good to be here.
Kirk, Massachusetts is widely seen as a national leader in higher education. So what's up with early college? How did these courses work?
Yeah, these real college courses are offered during the regular high school day. It doesn't cost students anything. It doesn't cost their families anything. And they're run in partnership with the local community colleges. Now, there's this new research from the nonpartisan think tank Mass Inc. that shows low-income students in Massachusetts are about twice as likely to earn a degree compared to those who don't take these courses. We spoke with Mass Inc.'s Ben Foreman, and he led the study.
It hits on all the problems, right? It hits on costs because you're providing students with a chance to do college in high school for free. They get exposure early, so they understand what it is. They feel comfortable in that environment. They've taken tough college courses and they're ready for it.
Well, that really sounds like a no-brainer, huh? But if
right?
But if early college works, then why is Massachusetts falling behind other states?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's the question that we were after. Massachusetts basically introduced this concept of early college back in the 1960s. It was first pulled off at Bard College at Simon's Rock. It's a private school in Great Barrington. But since then, other states like Texas, Colorado, and North Carolina have really taken these programs and put them on steroids. Paris, take North Carolina, for example, your home state, right?
Yes, so proud.
It's much warmer, but it has a similar population to Massachusetts. And this spring, more than 500 students there will graduate with both a high school diploma and an associate's degree. That's compared to just 90 students here in Massachusetts. Now, back in 2017, education leaders promised to launch what they said would be a major early college initiative. And since then, the state has created about 30 early college high schools serving 3,000 students. Now, advocates say the state needs to dramatically expand that number because today only about 1 in 5 low-income students in Massachusetts are completing a college degree. And our state needs more skilled workers. About 70% of the jobs here require at least some education beyond high school.
Yeah, Kirk, and I can't attest, I didn't take any early college classes down in North Carolina, but I had a lot of friends who did, and it really served them well. And so if we know the problem and we know how this works, what's the holdup here in Mass?
Yeah, well, experts say it comes down to funding and priorities. I spoke with Nancy Hoffman. She's a senior researcher with the Boston-based nonprofit Jobs for the Future, which helped design and develop the first early college high schools in this country. Hoffman told me the program in Massachusetts is underfunded and underappreciated, and she sees the mindset on Beacon Hill as a big obstacle.
Many of the legislators went to Suffolk, BC, BU, Harvard, MIT. The public system is not in the public eye.
And Paris, while other states have invested in early college with their low-income students taking, you know, career-focused courses at their local community college, Hoffman says Massachusetts has really lagged behind.
I think those states were more focused on workforce development than the sort of snobby New England states where everyone was supposed to get a 4-year degree and, you know, read Chaucer and live happily ever after.
And Paris, we should point out, you know, the father of English poetry famously said, "Time and tide wait for no man." So the state's business and community leaders have been urging lawmakers to deepen the early college program and double state funding.
Kirk, I just have to take a second to laugh because that's so classic New England, right? Read Chaucer and you know everything. You're set for life.
Why not?
Exactly. But back on a serious note, funding for programs like these is vital to helping the students who need them. And in reporting this story, you visited Lawrence High School to talk to some of those students. What did you hear from them?
Yeah, I met Sochil Urena, a senior at Lawrence High, where nearly all of the students are considered economically disadvantaged. And we sat inside the school's cafeteria, which is completely lined with college pennants. She's 18. She's the daughter of immigrants from the Dominican Republic. And she says she always wanted to go to college in the U.S., but English is not her first language, which made learning more difficult. She ended up making her decision official, though, after taking these real college courses at nearby Northern Essex Community College.
When we first set foot on campus and we're there with real college students and real college professors doing the same work that college students are doing, it kind of pushes you and it shows you that you're capable of it.
Urena told me that when she and her classmates talk about going to college, it often just boils down to two things, money and motivation.
A lot of people in Lawrence want to be rappers, or I have friends that are nail technicians. They just don't see college as an option.
For her, though, she sees college as a way out.
It's the only way to break that cycle of poverty that we have here in Lawrence.
And Paris, Urena is one of the 90 students in the state who will graduate this month with both a high school diploma and an associate's degree. And in the fall, she's decided to attend UMass Amherst, where she plans to pursue a degree in legal studies.
Well, I'm certainly wishing her the best there. That's GBH higher education reporter and editor Kirk Carapeza. Thanks so much, Kirk.
Thank you, Paris.
Before I go, I should tell you what else is up. And this includes some really good news for renewable energy in the Bay State. The nation's first ever large-scale offshore wind project has finally been approved. The plan is to install 62 massive turbines in the waters off Martha's Vineyard, which will generate enough electricity to power 400,000 homes each year. Massachusetts Energy Secretary Kathleen Theoharity says the federal announcement is putting the state on a path to create thousands of green jobs.
It's a really big deal to be the first state to get utility scale offshore wind off our coast and to really start moving in a big way towards our net zero goals while creating jobs, while investing in our communities. And this is just the beginning.
Theoharity says Massachusetts will need at least 15 gigawatts of offshore wind power by 2050 to meet its climate goals. The first offshore wind project, known as Vineyard Wind 1, will get us to just around 5% of that goal. Moving on to more goals. On Tuesday, Massachusetts logged zero reported deaths from COVID-19 during a single 24-hour period for the first time since last June. Tufts University epidemiologist Shira Daron says it's unprecedented.
This isn't just us kind of coming down toward, you know, where we were, say, in the fall. This is us looking better in terms of death than we've ever looked during the whole pandemic.
I'm sure that's music to all of our ears, and it's thanks in large part to the state's comparatively high vaccination rate. 74% of adults have had at least one COVID shot in the Commonwealth to date, the second highest vax rate in the country behind Vermont.
And so that really means that as we go into the summer and we see cases low again, we don't have to worry the way we did last summer that as the weather gets cold, we're going to go back into that nightmare that we had this past winter.
And in fact, Roxbury's Reggie Lewis Center is set to administer its 100,000th shot today. Two students from Roxbury Community College will unveil a mural they created to mark the occasion. Now this is the news I like to hear. From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, the greatest combo since vaccines and the new normal, I'm Paris Alston. Be well. Hey! You like podcasts? Here's one you might enjoy. From the producers of GBH's Antiques Roadshow, Detours is a podcast about what happens to all those antiques after the cameras leave town. Join Adam Monahan, longtime producer of Roadshow, for stories of sales, fakes, and yes, federal crimes. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.